method of a non-duality book if the Bible starts with the letter bet, that its value is 2, and this is basically the basis of duality is 2. So how can it be the Bible that's considered to be, in some people's eyes, a non-duality's book can start with the letter bet when the value of bet is 2? And we just ask Fernando to look not just at the bet, like the Zohar says, not just at the letter bet as the value 2, but at the dot. Yes, at the dot inside of the bet. Because bet without a dot is like the sound of V, like Vav, but the letter bet with a dot inside sounds like the letter B in English, B. So the dot, says the Zohar, is what is the nomenon. So if you look at the letter bet, which is value is 2, or the basic of duality, the dot in the bet refers to a non-dual. Or the basically the first, so to speak, like when we read the poem of Rabbi Isaac Luria, The Tree of Life, how the light in a way concise itself. It's not a physical movement, but there is a sense of withdrawing itself it's not to the center and not to the middle point, but withdraw the light and evacuates a space for the world to be or to appear. So the question was again, if the Bible is considered to be a non-dual book, how can it be that it starts with a letter bet, that its value is 2? And the question is simple. The dot in the letter bet refers to the nomenon or the source. Yes, and it starts basically inside of the mouth of the bet, so to speak. There is a dot that this dot refers, yes, to the source. But since, like we learn in geometry, the dot has no space, does not take any space, it's considered to be nothing. Nobody relates to the nothing or the nothingness. We can only relate to something because this is what the senses in us perceive. So this was the question of Fernando. There was a card that was posted. They were posted parallel to each other. And in a way, the card answered Fernando's question. Yanis was reading the text under the card and she asked what was Fernando's question. So we try to reframe Fernando's questions. And here we are. We shall be happy and delighted to hear your questions, your thoughts, your sharing. Whenever you have one, please feel free.
Eti, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Great.
Just something that came in mind. Is there any kind of numerical value for the Nikudot?
The one dot, like in the letter bet inside, is considered to be nothing, but not systematically. It's they are related to more sounds, yes, and specifically this dot, which is located in the letter bet in the Bereshit, the first word, is considered to be nothing. Did I answer your question, Felipe?
Yes, it is. Yes, thank you.
Most welcome. Any other question? Now we can ask, from which kind of perspective the book of Genesis or chapter 1 in Genesis is being written? What is the perspective? Yes, that chapter 1 in Genesis is being written. Which perspective is it? Is it from the nomenon? Is it from the source? Or the one that perceives, so to speak? The one that can count day 1, day 2, day 3, and so forth. So from which perspective the first chapter of Genesis is being written? Because some people take it as an absolute, without questioning even what is the perspective. And some people take it literally, what is written in the Bible, it is what it is, and so. But from which perspective the story is being told? Have you ever asked yourself this question? If you are a director, if we are directors and we are shooting a movie, so probably we have a story to tell. And let's look at each and every one of us as a director. Each and every one of us will choose, in a way, another frame to start his movie. The first scene of the movie is the frame in which everything later will happen, or in relation to the first, yes, scene will happen, follow. So now, if the book of Genesis is a movie, with which scene it starts? What happens here? What happens here? Who can even understand what is happening in chapter 1? What is happening in chapter 1? There's appearance and counting. Appearance and counting, isn't it? Now, what in us can see, and what in us or through us, what through us, we can ask even more accurately, what through us can see, and what through us can count? Abigail Chidu from New Jersey, you can unmute and speak. At the moment, Yanis has a problem with the microphone or connecting, but please feel free to speak, Abigail. If we sit with a book and read chapter 1 of Genesis to a bird or to a kitten, what will happen? Is the story in Genesis 1? Yes. If we sit and read the story from Genesis 1 to a bird and to a kitten, we'll reach somewhere. Or just they would just listen to the sound, to the voice that comes from the heart, and then continue to fly or continue to waving the tail in case of the cat. So Yanis says it will make no sense to the bird or to the kitten. That's true. So to whom such a chapter or a story can make sense? To whom? To the kitten, it's not, doesn't make any sense. It's not relevant. Yes, to the bird as well. To the puppy also. To the butterfly, we don't think so. We presume not. To the bee, to the geese, to the dolphin, not really. To the fish, to the seagull, to the mountain, to the tree. What is happening here? Who needs to hear such a story? Does a cat need a book to live? Abigail, you can unmute and speak if it's possible. Yes, yes. Good day, Felipe. Wishing you good time in the new city with friends and family. Shabbat shalom. So, the question is again, to whom does this story refer to? Does the cat has any advantage from listening to this story? Does the bird? Yes, human beings, yes, yes. If you tell this story to a zebra, to a lion cub, they will yawn maybe, move their ears left and right. The only one that might be impressed, might, we're not sure, is human. Why? Why human might be impressed from this story? For what reason? First, human can see. And secondly, human can count. So there is a relation between seeing and counting. So the book or the chapter is written for human. This is it. Abigail, can you unmute and speak? We would like to hear your voice if possible. So, it is for human that the book was written. Human, so to speak, appears in space and time, or the cognition of man appears in space and time. Yes, the cognition. But the spirit is eternal. Yes, the spirit is eternal. When the spirit is being hooked by birth to a baby, the baby in about 2 years will have his brain developed that he will feel that he is the center of the world, because his brain will reach this activity that he will see himself as a part of the world. Yes? When the spirit, infinite, is being hooked, yes, into a labor or into a baby, what will happen now, that the brain of the baby will face, or the eyes will face the world, the appearance, and the back of the baby will turn to the eternal. And whatever will interest the baby is one thing, is what the eyes can see. It means, and the vision comes in front of the eyes, so the baby will go for what he sees and will believe that the world is out there, far from reach. Look at the games that we play with babies. When they are about in few months, when they still lying on their belly, you put different objects or puppets that they will reach them. This is how they test them in the Milky Drops. You test the development of a baby to see if he sees and he can reach arm and catch and those for the health of the baby. But what happens is that the baby learns, yes, that the world is out there to get. Yes, the eyes can see the object, the puppet, the doll, the baby kitten also, and the baby is encouraged to catch it. Yes, there's something out there as an object, even for the baby, 6 months old on the belly, there's something out there, and he reaches and to get. Or if you see them sitting in a booster or a in a baby's seat in a restaurant, when they're little and they don't have yet a language, they just open the palms, open and close like they want something. Open the palm without speaking like they want this. Open the palms, yes? So the baby, this is how it goes. He will follow what he sees, and everything, every progress will, in a way, will be conditioned in what he sees. He sees a doll there, so he will crawl there to bring it. And this is how we shall grow up to childhood and so on, to believe that the world is out there first, and then there to get something from it. Yes? So there is a division between the baby and the world. And there's a distance and there's a gap that it is always to be crossed or to bridge. While the baby is always going forward, so to speak, to get the object, to get the games or the puppets, the baby is just standing with the back, so to speak, to the eternal, to the infinite. And everybody is expecting from this baby to go forward, so to speak. It doesn't go linearly, but this is the expectation of all human beings, because everybody has two eyes. Yes, and two eyes between two points, there's only one line, as they say. So everybody's expecting linearly progress from this baby, and even though not just from the baby, from themselves, yes. And they're expecting that the baby will develop and will progress and will go out to the world to get something from the world, while all of us as humans are standing with the back to the eternal. Because what interests, and this is how the book of Genesis starts, what interests everyone is what one mind can perceive, which is a picture or counting or cognition. Yes? If I catch in my vision a street, yes, look from the window where you are. If I see a street, if there's a frame of a street, I know it. This is a street, I say it's the name of the street, or we say, I see a street. Yes. Therefore, if I see a street, I know that there is a street. This is how cognition works. And all life around us, in a way, are encouraging this cognition. I see a street, there's a street, there's a street, and I see a cat, it's a cat. This is how children learn to speak. You point at the cat and you say cat, and he hears it 10,000 times from different people, from the kindergarten teacher, it's a cat, it's a cat, it's a cat. So if it's a cat and I say it's a cat, so I'm owning the scene or part of nature because I can speak, because I can say the word, because we can use language. Now, it doesn't matter what language do we use. All of us, when speaking any kind of language, we believe that we have an absolute perception. Again, is this understood? It doesn't matter which language do we speak, but once the speech is going on, there is a false belief, which is suggested by the brain, that we are the owner of the language. And the language is basically works as it perceives, uses words to describe, uses verbs, noun, names, and so. And once we are using, all of us, it doesn't matter which language, we're using language, there is, in a way, I would say, a seduction. Yes? And all of us are eating it, that we have an absolute knowledge. The mere fact of us using any kind of language also comes with the seduction that we have the absolute knowledge about everything. Because we can call a name, because we can reframe a sentence, because we can come up with any kind of perspective that can catch reality. And this was the claim of the serpent, and this is how the book of Genesis starts. And this is the claim of the serpent. You will be as God. As God, but in multiplicity, not as beings. He says, Ke Elohim. And the sages look at this word, Ke Elohim, as multiple gods, not as beings. Yes, because everyone that is capable of speaking has some kind of perspective or perception. And each one is absolutely convinced that he or she are getting it right and in an absolute way. And all of us, 8.2 billion people, believing that each one is catching the reality is an absolute. So let's return to the baby. The baby just go to life, trying to catch the puppet, trying to catch a kitten, believe that life is what is ahead of him, and he has to catch it, and he has to get it, because there are two, him, the baby, and the world. The baby is just a parable. We are also babies, yes? So the baby believes that the world is there and he has to get there to get something from the world, like something is missing and there's a gap all the time. What creates this gap and in a way create animosity between, even animosity or a struggle between the baby's brain and the world is the brain, like we say in Hebrew, it has a value of 48. Yes, it always slices reality into two and opposites the two sides against each other. So the baby believes that life is there and he has to be there to get something from the life, and there's a gap. And it's not just the baby, we also believe the same belief. While we're always staying with our back to the eternal. the baby appeared in space and time and was named by someone to be John or Peter, Paul or Mary. And he now, when he hears all the time that he's Peter, eventually he will turn his head when somebody says Peter. And he will know during the time to recognize this body that appears in space and time with the name Peter. And the whole identity, his identity will be pinned around this appearance in space and time that few people in a way shaped the offer the name and calling him all the time, Peter, 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 and he turns his head and he believes that he is Peter, that he is bonded to those 3, 4, 5 people around him and so on, and this is his story. But this is only a suggestive story to the body that appears in space and time. This is a suggestive story. It's of a making. It's not the absolute and it's not the truth. Because once that there is appearance in space and time, also comes a duration and comes a story. Because what appears, we always believe that there is a relation between frame to frame, frame, and we are starting to basically to tell a story. So each and every one of us was introduced to a suggestive story. It doesn't matter now when we were born, in which continent or what kind of upbringing. Yes, we have had. We received a suggestive story and we learn to attach ourselves to the story and to those storytellers and to believe this is the absolute truth. But this story is relevant to whom? To those that appear in space and time. So, going to the absolute, we never left the absolute. We just taught to believe that we were born because there was appearance of a body, and immediately when there's appearance of a body, there is language that comes and what? And glue itself to the object, yes, to the appearance of a body, and grants this baby a name and a story, like 2 or 3 adults that the baby, this baby came through, which, and those are the parents, and ta 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 ta. So, and then you have a story. And what is so interesting in this story, that the story always suggests one thing. There is me and the world. There is to do for Hoy and the world. There is Abigail and the world. There is Yanis and the world. There is listener and the world, which there isn't. But this is what the story of Genesis, and this is not the story of Genesis of foreign gods or so. Yes, this is how human sees the appearance in space and time. Because because if there isn't appearance in space and time, we could not speak about Genesis or Bereshit. Bereshit basically means Bet dash Reshit. When Bet is 2, Reshit is beginning. So there are 2 beginnings. What 2 beginnings? Space and time. So Bereshit basically means is the matrix. So once there is a matrix of space and times, there are appearances. But we have nothing to do with the appearances. We could be closer to the truth if we would say there is non Yannis, non Abigail, non to do from Jersey. Why will be more close to reality? Because the names that we granted are given to us only because there is appearance in space and time. But the real nature is no name, which like non-duality, non-two. So we could say non-Yannis is a better turning. Non-Abigail and non-to-do from Jersey. Because once there is a name, now it doesn't matter which name or who granted the name to the baby. Once there is a name, there is space and time. Because names cannot appear, or language cannot appear unless there is a space of time. Because language is for communication. Why do we need to communicate? Because there is a sense of disconnection and brokenness. And we always try to cover it. This is the fig trees, yes? Trying to what? To cover with communication. But why there is a need to communicate from the beginning? Because there is sense of disconnection. Why there is sense of disconnection? Because there is a primal sense of me and the world, a separation. But there is a sense of separation, not that there is a separation, there is a sense of separation. This is why the great plagues of our time is loneliness. This is how psychologists, and they give those statistics that people are deep in depression because they are suffering from loneliness, where there's all the time videos and there's like movies and conversations and podcasts and free books and free art, everything free. I mean, most of it online. So people could find interest in art or in any kind of literary stream. But still, there is a plague of loneliness. Why? Because there is sense of separation. Not that the separation is true, that there is a sense of separation, sense of loneliness, sense of not having friend, of being able to communicate. So this is the how do you say, the spider web, yes, around us. That the brain all the time weaves those blankets of solitude. I'm alone, I'm separated entity, the world is there and I'm here. How to gap it, how to... And the more people identify with their names and the story that who gave them the name, the more they feel a sense of separation. So it would be better to say non Yannis. This is closer to reality. Because once you there's a baby and you give it the name Yannis, it's like a separated entity. It doesn't matter what name you give the baby. People are going with those dictionaries before birth, which name to give to the baby, if it's a boy, if it's a girl. Meaning, number, numerology, mythology, God knows, it doesn't matter. Once the baby is being born, it will experience at the age of 2 years a separation. And with the separation will also come a new word. Word? Me. If there isn't a sense of separation, their babies or adults as babies would not use the word me or mine. Mine or my. My car, my book, my pen. Yes, my notebook. Whenever we use this me or mine, it means that we feel or we perceive ourselves as separated entities. And once we see ourselves as separate entities, everything starts to look very, very narrow, isolated, choking, bitter, and depressed. Not just this, it's not the truth. Those are walls of lies. Walls of lies. So therefore, the better turning would be non Yanis, non Abigail, and not to do from Jersey or from no Jersey even. Yes? Because all the names that are appearing only in the context of space and time. So once there is no name, there is no time. Therefore, the last line of the poem, The Tree of Life, he says there, and there is no name that can catch the infinity. Because once there is a name that you can catch, it means it's finite. Once we're using words and language, it means it's finite. Why do we say it's finite? Because if you can catch phenomenon, it means it is appearing in space and time, and it's finite. So the more that we lose interest in our name, in our heritage, how many generations your people are sitting in, the more we lose interest in the story. Yes, about the name, about the non-existing me, it's better. It is just better because it's closer to the truth. Me or a name next to it is just an invention. This is just a, how do you say, there's a present and then you wrap the present, yes? And this is only the wrapping, yes? It's just a box around it. This is what it is. So if we believe that we are the box, we are not the box. We are eternal. And this is the great news. We are not of the finite. We are not of the finite. So with this beautiful message, I would like to thank each and every one of you for participating in this beautiful conversation. Thank you so much, Yanis and Abigail, and to Du from New Jersey, and to Felipe in the new city, and to the listeners. Shabbat Shalom, Shavua Tov, and see you soon on Monday at the same time. Leitraot.